G'day, Josh.
Hey, Middo, how are you, mate?
Very well, mate. So you're coming off a 24-10 loss to St Helens. Take us through it.
Yeah, mate, it was, like I said last week, we were fairly confident going into the game, mate. We started really well. We took it to them at the start. Probably had a couple of chances that we left out in the field, and that was probably the thing that lost it for us. We probably had to score one or two tries early to probably get us into the game a bit more, but what ended up happening, it was 4-4, and then they ended up scoring right on half-time. And I suppose that being a team like St Helens and being good front runners, they sort of just grinded us in the end, mate. We went away from what we're doing well in the first half, and we're probably chasing the game a bit. Even myself was a bit probably doing that, and you know, when the halves are doing that, it filters through the team. So yeah, it was a bit of a learning lesson for us. But they are the best team. That they've won it 3 years in a row, and but in saying that, for us, we've got to, you know, if we were any chance of winning this, we can't, you know, keep giving these big games away. And you know, we've got another one in Wigan this Saturday, so it'll be another big challenge for us.
Joshua, you mentioned last week just the grind that St Helens have. They just stay, you know, doing the basics over and over and over again. And you know, the teams that do get close to beating them, they match them with that discipline. Is that the area that you think you boys have got to look at? And honestly, how hard is that if a team is so disciplined? How do you just not try something new? How do you just stay in there and wait for that opportunity?
Well, that's it, isn't it, Clarky? It's just the teams that can match it with the best teams. I think it's mentally. Mm. I think, you know, you can go set for set for set, and you just got to realize that St Helens are going to do that all day. And we said that throughout the week. There was actually a clip in our video that I said to the boys, one of their tries that they scored, that all they done was, they went three short side plays and then just a little shift on fourth tackle. Conrad Hull went around one of our boys, flipped past to the winger, and they scored. Like, every team can do that, but it's just them. We were battening them on their try line, and then they just done something little like that, and then, you know, then they were on top. It's just one of those things where you just got to be happy in the grind, and you can't try and, you know, try and chase points as we done. You can't try and, you know, do different things, even though sometimes, you know, you try and mix it up to try and break a defensive line. But I think we did fall into the trap of, you know, like I said, trying stuff, and then it, you know, didn't come off, and then, you know, they're just too good. They just put you away.
It doesn't help though, Grubby, when you lose a good player early on.
Yeah, well, that's it, Loz. It's just one of those, I suppose it's for them too. You know, they had one in the bin, Loz, and that was probably one of the things that hurt us the most was, well, for me, going back after the game and looking at the video, the period of the 10 minutes when they had someone in the bin, we didn't take advantage of that. We didn't use the numbers well. We didn't, you know, well, they were unreal, to be honest. They saved two tries in that time, and that's probably the best thing about St Helens was their scramble. It looks like you've got them on the edge, and then three of them are coming to, you know, bundle you into touch. But, you know, as I said, that's why they're the champs, and now, we're aspiring to be that, but, you know, it was a bit of a wake-up call for us, so it'll be good for us. I think, you know, mid-year, see where we're at, and, you know, we can work on the things that we needed to work on.
Well, you speak about taking on Wigan, and, you know, they knocked St Helens off only a week or two ago, but what's Hull and Proud Week? What's this all about?
Yeah, well, so it's just a bit of a initiative from the club, because it, obviously with COVID and whatnot, we haven't been able to do, you know, much community work and promo work. So pretty much every night this week, they've got sort of a gig on. So last night I went to a quiz night. Monday night, a few of the boys went out to Nando's and cooked for a few of the fans and whatnot. And I'm pretty sure there's a school visit nearly every day this week, mate. So it's pretty much just giving back. And, you know, because it was actually nice to actually go to a school, because we hadn't been a long time, and yeah, you know, see the kids, even though they don't, you know, they're all about football over here. But I honestly do miss that, Loz. It's something that you probably, when you're doing it a lot, you know, because I feel you do a lot of more community work back in the NRL compared to over here. But actually going to a school and, you know, seeing the kids ask you to sign their arm and stuff, it was actually nice to be back in the community.
Because Hull's a league town, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Loz. It is, but I don't know. It's just, it is a bit different over here. They've all got their football, sorry, soccer shirts on. I can say soccer on this show.
Yeah.
but yeah, they just love it over here. But yeah, Hull definitely is. Obviously, having the two teams in the town, they do love it. But it's, yeah, like I said, it was nice to get back there.
Now, your halves partner Luke Gale was your initial halves partner anyway. I've seen some commentary around him and his absence last weekend. Will he be back against Wigan? And what's the situation around him?
Yeah, well, Mido, it's because, as we've spoken about before on the show, Joey Lovadua is going so well. Yeah, Gailey didn't get the nod last week, and it's just, that's what Hodges probably trying to create. Well, sorry, not probably. He is trying to create in our team. You know, he's picking, you know, players on form, and, you know, it's not that Gailey wasn't in form. It's just that, you know, he got suspended, and then, you know, myself and Joey had a couple of pretty good games together, and Hodges just stuck with us. But, yeah, coming off the back of last week, he's coming back in this week, and, you know, Hodge has had a word to us and said, look, boys, I need you to, you know, cement this and, you know, this spine and, you know, lead us into the back end of the year. So, yeah, it's just been one of those ones where, you know, there is, you know, Joey's just sort of come out of nowhere, to be honest. He's been unreal for us, and it's been hard to, you know, not put him in the halves. And, you know, he jumps back into the hook and roll this week, and yeah, hopefully we can just get some continuity in that spine and, you know, like I said, just head into the back end of the season.
What are you made of what's happening with the Bulldogs, buddy, and Trent Barrett's resignation?
Yeah, it's, you know what, Clark, it's tough to watch for me. Probably more so just because, you know, I do feel for Barrett. I know, you know, fans will say, and it's all about the coach and this and that, but I think a bit of it's got to come onto the players. You know, I see a guy there in Josh Jackson, and I feel so sorry for him because I just feel he takes a battering, you know. And yeah, there's a few comments that he made in the media about he wanted to go in and speak to the board about Barrett. He's just one of the most loyal people I've ever seen, you know, for a club, and it breaks me to see him going through that at the club. But as a club themselves, I just think I think we've spoken about it before. They've just got to find their identity, you know. And it doesn't help when there's speculation every single day in the paper about, you know, this guy going, and, you know, and a few of them having a bit of an outburst with the media and whatnot. It's just, it's not the things that they should be thinking about. But it is tough to watch for me, Clay, because I still enjoy, you know, have good, really good relationship with a lot of people there.
Yeah. I feel for Jacko as well, Grubby. I mean, you wouldn't get a more passionate, professional, wonderful leader, does the right thing on and off the field. I mean, if you're setting an example at a footy club, he's the first person you bring in and show everyone what a professional looks like. He's just a wonderful person, first and foremost, and then you throw the football ability in, but the way he conducts himself in and around a football club, I don't think there's been a more professional player than him, Grubb.
Honestly, Loz, I can. This is me being brutally honest here. I speak to Jacko regularly about, you know, the Bulldogs and like what he thinks and whatnot. And, you know, the two coaches he's been through, you know, you watch every, you know, Nelly media outlet, and they're bagging the hell out of him. He once hasn't said a bad word about him, and that just shows you the type of bloke he is. You know what? Deep down, he might think, you know, a couple of things might need change and whatnot. But that's what happens in footy clubs sometimes. People bicker, you know, there's a bit of, you know, just that stuff that you don't need. And that's why, as you just said, he's just the perfect captain and the perfect person that you want to lead your club. And, you know, there's speculation that they're going to shop him around. That would be, honestly, the dumbest decision that they've ever made. You know, it's not just on the field. It's off the field too. It's a leader. He's a person that you want a young guy coming through now, 17 years old, to look up to and play like that and wear that blue and white jersey like he does every week.
Do you know much about Mick Potter?
I actually don't. Loz, no.
He wasn't at the Tigers when you were there, was he?
No, he wasn't at the Tigers. No, obviously just probably read a bit of stuff about him and whatnot. But, he steps in now, and I'm not too sure what will happen whether they'll bring a new coach in or he'll stay. But, you know, hopefully they can play some, you know, good footy for him and, you know, get him back into that, I suppose, coaching arena.
What type of coach do you think the Bulldogs need? Because there's all this discussion about they need a Bulldog do they need someone that knows and understands the history of the Bulldogs, or do you just go for the best coach? Do you go for a young, inexperienced coach? If you're in charge and you've been there, you've played there, what are you doing?
I definitely think Lodger needs someone that is a Bulldog. That's just me. But in saying that, also, if Craig Bellamy was up for grabs, you grab him. Like, if there's a coach that one of the big coaches that I think you take him. I don't think you're going in an experienced one right now, Loz, because then there's pressure on straight away, you know, because if it's their first job and whatnot, they're not 100% confident in their role going into it, like any job you go into. But I can't understand how they haven't called on Jimmy Dimmick for all these years, Loz. As a player, I learnt a lot from him, so much, like just about rugby league, and you know, probably more my defence. He helped me out so much with that, and he just never got a shot, especially even when Dez just, you know, when they just got rid of Dez. Yep. I thought he was going to go straight in.
Well, Jimmy hasn't been mentioned at all, but he is a Bulldog. He's been an assistant for a long time, and he actually took over there for, half a dozen games, games?
1 point.
Yeah. He gave my debut. I was actually in the back end of
Blues, 2010. New South Wales assistant for a while as well.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I like Jimmy. Jimmy's a very intelligent coach.
He's a hell of a player.
He's very
as well.
Knowledgeable, isn't he?
Yeah, right. Very, very, very smart. Yeah. Like, honestly, even though the game's totally changed from, you know, when he played, you know, he was all about, you know, the flick pass, but now he knows the game really well now. He used to tell me where to line up on a player and where to finish and things like that. So I'd 100%, for me, I'd get someone like that back at the club, and, you know, he knows what it's all about. And I'd get someone like Mick Ennis in there somehow. You know, I think when he talks about the Bulldogs on Fox, he's
would
still
Mick
got
want
that
to do
fire
it,
in his belly.
Do you reckon you Mick know, would I've, want to coach?
I know he wants to do it at one stage, Loz. Yeah,
right.
Definitely. I've spoken to him about it in the past.
What was
I'm not
he doing
sure
at the
when.
Raiders? Wasn't he
well, he was
at the
yeah doing a bit,
something?
But I look at those blokes and go, you know, they got the best of both worlds. They can dip their toe into it, have a little bit of an input into coaching, but they've still got
TV
the media.
Well, yeah.
Which sort of takes a bit of pressure off them as well, but and it's a I don't know want to say an easier lifestyle, but it's more relaxed lifestyle. If you go into coaching, you're head first and 24/7. I don't know whether you know Mick better than me. Yeah, right. So you think he'd want to go into it head first?
I've 100% had a word with him about it, and I think he's the kind of guy too, Lizzie. He really sets goals for himself, and I think he'd love the challenge. I really do, and I think he'd, you know, I think he'd be great because his general knowledge of the game is awesome too, and I think he'd be perfect for the Dogs right now as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that it should be probably a Bulldog that coaches there. We look at some clubs and think, I think we look at Manly and go, sort of needs to be a Manly
sort of
person.
A unique
there.
Club, isn't it, the Bulldogs?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, how political is it, Josh? I mean, you know, we were speaking this week about the fact that there's board meetings every 2 years, and if the club's struggling, you know, new board members don't want to be under pressure, so therefore you're going to demand change as far as in the footy departments more regularly than perhaps other clubs might. So, I mean, you were there. I mean, so you're basically, by saying it should be a Bulldog, you're noting sort of how unique that club and the setup, well, the way that club runs is as opposed to other clubs.
I definitely think that, Mitt, 100%, because I think coming into the Bulldogs, if just to say if you're a new player coming into the Bulldogs, straight away, well, when I was there, they tried to get you to realise what it is and what people have done in this club to get us here. And that's what I loved about it. I loved that they tried to bring a lot of the old ex-players in a lot of the time, and even just like coming around the club and they really just, well, when we were there, it was very family orientated. They tried to really make it like it was, you know, a lot. It was us against everyone else, and I sort of loved that. And I loved, you know, they got Terry Lamb still around the club. They got Barry Ward still around the club. Tony Grimaldi was there. They all knew what it was, you know, to put on that jersey. And it was just, I think it just had a feel about it, you know. I really do. I really think if you did get someone back there, they'd be able to tell, you know, the new people, the boys that are playing there now, what it meant for them. And then, if you want to play for this club, you've got to buy in like this. You can't just be someone who's here and is here just for, you know, a ride. You've got to really buy into the club. And that's just for me. Like when I think about the Bulldogs and when I was there, that's what it meant, and that's what it was meant to be a Bulldog.
It's interesting because Gus said that, what, 2 years ago when Trent was first approached about the job, how he'd advise him not to take it because he wasn't a Bulldog. He said, you know, he's looked upon as being a dragon, and when things go pear-shaped, that, you know, he mightn't have that support. And unless you've been a part of the club, you probably don't understand the fabric of it. Whereas I could probably explain to you what it means to be a Raider, but I wouldn't be able to tell you what it means to be a Bulldog. Yet, you know, you get blokes like Josh and people that have been involved in it, and it is a unique club. And all football clubs are different. They have different cultures, they have different feel to them. And from an outsider looking in, when you speak to people that have played with the Bulldogs, they understood, and I heard Braith say it on NRL 360 the other night, you've got to understand what the DNA of the club is. And by the sounds of things, Josh, when you were there and when Braith and all them were there, they understood it.
Yeah, it definitely is, Loz. And do you know, just a little thing I was just thinking about then, Loz, it's just, like, well, I've still got my first ever number as a Bulldog. And something like that, if you bring someone else, sorry, if you bring someone who's played for the Bulldogs in, they've got that number, and it also, and it means something to them straight away. That's just like a little thing for me. So, and I know one thing with the Bulldogs, their fans are the most passionate fans there are in the game. And I feel they'd probably be a bit more lenient with a coach if they did play for the Dogs. So for me, we're about going back to the Barrett thing. Yeah, maybe Gus was right when he did say that, you know, to Trent, but yeah, for me, I'd definitely bring someone in that's been, you know, been at the club and knows what it's about.
Mate, you go well against Wigan. Thanks so much.
Thank you, boys. Cheers.